The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. With me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, and my co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Boy, I sure gave you a lot of titles, huh? Well, it's a beautiful, beautiful day here in Sonoma County. A little bit of the clouds rolling in, but it's still a beautiful day and a wonderful day to be alive. You know, I know there are many folks out there who are very concerned about what's happening at the border around the issue of separating children from their parents. Whoever thought of that idea, in my mind, has little or any compassion for children or understanding what horrors these children are going through and are all looking to do something. So we're going to have two special guests. My first guest is joining me in the studio is a dear friend, Leslie Graves, who is the lead organizer for the Families Belong Together rally in Courthouse Square in downtown Santa Rosa this coming Saturday. Leslie is also the director for the Wednesday night market that happens in Santa Rosa from June 27th to April 22nd, 2018. And also just a little reminder, just to let you know, it's going to be Saturday, June 30th at 10 o'clock to 12:30 at Old Courthouse Square. Really, it's going to be a rather big gathering, and I will have more announcements of other gatherings that are happening in the community also. Joining me on the phone from New York will be Dr. Harriet Fraud. Dr. Fraud is a mental health counselor and hypnotherapist in practice in New York City. She is a well-published author and writes about the pressures on families and the economics of the USA. Her articles appeared in numerous publications, and she also is on once a month. She is on with her husband, Richard Wolf, the economic update here on KBBF. It's an honor to be able to have her on the show. Well, today is the last Monday of the month, and we will do the Women's Spaces Pledge. You know, with today's climate and all that's going on, we're going to need not only to say the pledge about five times a day, because, you know, in order to speak up, you have to have a level of self-esteem. Not only do you need a level of self-esteem, but you need to have compassion and empathy for what's going on. And, you know, there's a song. I hope I get a chance to play it. I picked two songs. This is kind of the third song, but I want to mention it. There's a really important song that I want to encourage my listeners to listen to. It's called "By My Silence, I Give My Consent." You know, you can hear it on YouTube. It's by Ellen Bookstell. However you find it, you can find it, but you can find it on YouTube. And the reason that I mention that song is because it's very, very important to recognize those who say nothing are agreeing. It's like those who don't vote are agreeing, you know, hey, whatever happens, c'est la vie, c'est la vie. It's the same thing. If you don't speak out, what you're saying is, it's okay. It's okay. Well, for many people across the country, it's not okay, and we are going to be talking about that. So let's go into the pledge. You know, it's very important that we do it once a month, and, you know, I can't believe it. I cannot believe it that today is June 25th and next Monday is going to be July 2nd. Now, folks, tell me, where did June go? It's just amazing. Oh, before I get into the pledge, I want to wish a happy, happy birthday to two of my dear, dear friends. Susan Lamont, who is an activist here in Sonoma County. Happy birthday, Susan. We went to a little bit of a party at her house, and it was just wonderful sitting around and talking with like-minded folks. And also my friend Robin Latham. Happy birthday, Robin. I mean, I can't believe it. And I can't believe Susan has joined the 70s Club. So happy birthday again. Okay, so let's do the pledge. You know, let me give you a little background again on this pledge. People ask me, where did that come from? Where did that come from? Well, it came from several places. The first place it came from is that I myself, all through my life, I struggled with self-esteem. I struggled just to understand how to accept Elaine as Elaine. You know, and all that has to do with self-esteem. And then when I had a grandson, my grandson Ryan. He's about 5 or 6 years old, and I was at he was at a daycare center, and I went to pick him up, and he gets in the car and he starts crying, and I says, "Ryan, what's the matter?" And he says, "My teacher said I was a bad boy." And I says, "Your teacher said you're a bad boy. Well, your self-esteem doesn't depend on your teacher." And I made up that saying for him. And about 4 years ago, Ken and I were talking, and I says, "You know, I need something positive to give the folks when they listen to the radio with me." And all of a sudden I said, "How's about that pledge?" And that's how the Women's Spaces Pledge evolved. So let's do it together, and let's think about it. Let's think about it in today's world. You know, when you think about these immigrants that are coming here, these are people that are asking for asylum. You know, and I don't, you know, I don't like the word, you know, I don't like the word Nazi. I mean, it really bothers me. Because, folks, we're in a free country. You know, there might have been a regime called Nazis, and some of the things that we're doing might immolate some of the things that they did. But the bottom line is, we are a free country still, and we have a constitution. And we all need to stand up, particularly women, particularly for the children. You know, you call yourself Christians. You know, what did the Christian religion say? All of us are made in the image of God. What do they say about children? A child shall lead the way. Listen ye to little children. And then we're doing this horrific thing at the border. I mean, it does not make any sense to me at all. I mean, here we are in 2018. We have computers. We've gone to the moon. We've done all kinds of great things. And you mean to tell me we can't figure out how to work with people and help them? And a lot of these people are leaving their countries for two reasons. One is because of the destruction of global warming. And the second is because of all these wars and violence that's going across the globe. You know, you have to put yourself, you know, there's an old Native American saying, "You can't understand anybody till you walk a mile in their shoes." Well, I got news for you. I don't want to walk a mile in these people's shoes, but I still understand in my heart and my spirit what it means to be without a home and now without a country and escaping with your children. And then all of a sudden, boom, they're taken away from you and you're put in jail. Come on. There's got to be a better way. You know, on our money, we say, "In God we trust." That's a big statement. You know, that means that we're giving ourselves over to what I think of as God. God is love. God is compassion. God is empathy. God is the great mystery that we all are a part of. But in order to express that, in order to stand up for yourself, you have to look at your self-esteem. And I find, you know, I tell folks, before I come on the show, I do that pledge 5 times. When I bring Leslie on, I'm going to ask Leslie to describe what happened 5 seconds before I went on the air when I closed my eyes. Because at that moment, I'm saying that. I'm saying my self-esteem does not depend on anybody outside of me. It depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. And that gives me the oomph. It says, okay, you can do it. You're not going to worry what people think about you out there. You're just going to come from your heart and say what's right and say what you feel. Sometimes it's not a little off the wall. You know, sometimes people challenge me. So what? That's great. Doesn't mean I'm a bad person or I don't have self-esteem. So let's do the pledge together. And let's just think about it. If you're in the car, don't close your eyes, just listen. But if you're at home, find yourself a comfortable spot, you know, kind of loosen up your shoulders a little bit, you know. Ken and I are doing Tai Chi of late, and it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to get into. Anyway, let's do the pledge. I'm going to say it, and then you repeat it after me. And I would please let the folks in the audience, I have 2 special people here. If you would join me, I would appreciate it. So I'm going to say it first, and then you follow me. So let's go. My self-esteem
does not depend
on anything
outside of me.
My self-esteem depends
on my relationship
with myself
and my higher power.
Wow, that just feels so good. And you know, my higher power, throw anything in there that you want. Jesus, Mohammed, your pet rock. I don't know, whatever your higher power is, go for it. So I'm going to say it real quickly and just kind of absorb it, kind of listen to it. And if you hear some of those little voices that are saying, hey, what do you think you are? Just say, quiet, please. Oh, here we go. I'm just going to say it. Just absorb it. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. Wow. Well, before we announce our guest, I have a few announcements I'd like to make. First of all, I want to alert people that this Tuesday, which is tomorrow, June 26th, I will be at the Commission on Human Rights meeting, which starts at 5:30. It's at 2550 Ventura Avenue in their hearing room in Santa Rosa. And what I'm going to be doing is talking about the separation of families at the border and encouraging the Human Rights Commission to do a resolution that we in Sonoma County do not agree with that we find it's offensive, and it is not the way we want our country to express itself. And also I'm going to encourage them to also encourage the Board of Supervisors to issue the same resolution. But one of the demands I'm making is that I want every department that works with immigration or law enforcement to also sign on to the resolution. Because folks, I got to tell you something. If you don't have everybody on board, that piece of paper is worthless. But if you have signatures about people that actually work with immigration, work with law enforcement, and they say this is what they agree to, it gives it a lot more clout and power. So I encourage you folks to come. And also there's going to be a presentation by Kathleen Finnegan. She's going to be talking about the homeless situation and also offering some ideas and some solution. The most important thing about this announcement is that you folks out there have got to show up. Because when you show up, it shows that the people are for what people are trying to do. You know, when I was dealing with the Andy Lopez situation, I remember we had a whole group of people that would continuously go together, continuously speak. And there's a lot of power in numbers, and also it helps you with your confidence and your self-esteem. So the Human Rights Commission meeting is going to be happening tomorrow, June 26th at 5:30 p.m. at the Permit and Resource Management Department at 2550 Ventura Avenue in the hearing room. And I look forward to seeing folks there. Another little announcement I have is that let's talk a little bit about, and we're going to talk to Leslie about this, we are going to be having a rally on Saturday, June 30th at 10 o'clock to 12:30 p.m. at Old Kohler House Square in beautiful downtown Santa Rosa. For you folks listening in the Bay Area, Santa Rosa is 50 miles north of San Francisco. And you get off at the downtown exit, and good luck. It's going to be a wonderful rally. I think Leslie was telling me we've already got 2,500 people signed up, which is good news to me because it shows people are saying no. Enough is enough. You crossed a line. Another rally that's happening is going to be happening in Dolores Park at the Civic Center, and that's going to be happening also on June 30th from 10 to 11 a.m. And I'm really excited because I'm going to be having next week, I'm going to be having Christine Pelosi on, who is one of the lead organizers for the San Francisco group, and she will give us a report. And after we get into the interview with Leslie, what I'm going to do is I have a few announcements to make about other events that are happening in the Bay Area as far as get-togethers, you know, protests or what can we call this? No, it's not even a protest. It's a rally of consciousness. You know, we're not protesting. We're demanding. We're saying no. This is not who we are as Americans. Period. You know, and also, you know, we got to watch our backs. Lots of other things. You know, my big fear is we're so involved with this that all of a sudden, you know, we forget all the other stuff that's happening in the world. Like they're trying to cut Social Security and Medicare. I mean, we got to keep our eyes and ears open. often, folks, and read a lot. Anyway, I got a very exciting announcement that I heard about today, and that it's June 25th at 7:15 a.m. A shout out to Susan Lamont for always watching what's going on at the Supreme Court and letting us all know very early in the morning. It was the first thing I saw when I woke up and went onto Facebook. The Supreme Court clears way for Sonoma County deputy to be tried in the shooting of a boy with pellet gun. That is the lead. That's the lead. That's the headline there. And what it is is that young Andy Lopez, who was shot and killed on October 22nd, 2013. I can't believe it's already 5 years that we have been working on this. It went all the way up to the Supreme Court after three or four different rounds with the Ninth Circuit Court, and the Supreme Court said, no, he's not immune. Let him go to trial. So we will have updates on that. But that is, you know, that another demonstration of democracy at work. You know, it really is. I mean, when you think about it, and a shout out to the Supreme Court that I believe they did the right thing. So it's an amazing day for all of us. And one of the things that this demonstrates is the power of the people. Because people have stuck on this and have talked about it, have yelled about it, have cried about it, and here we are. It's almost coming to an end, and justice will be served. And that is very exciting because, you know, folks, we get lots of bad news every day. So this is good news that we'll be able to go to the court, trial by peers, and let's settle the thing once and for all. So thank you so much to the Supreme Court, and again, thank you to Susan for posting this. Well, time to take a musical break, okay? We're going to take a musical break, and then when we come back, we will be talking with Leslie Graves about the Families Belong Together rally in Courthouse Square in Sonoma County and Santa Rosa, and also she was going to talk a little bit about some of her feelings. And I thought, as a reminder of who we are as a people, I would play this song called Give Me Your Tired and Your Poor. That's on our Statue of Liberty in the New York Harbor. And I remember my grandmother telling me when that was the first thing she saw, when she said, I am in America, and threw herself on the ground and kissed the boat because she wasn't on land yet. So it's a very, very powerful song. It's sung by the West Los Angeles Children's Choir. When I listened to it, like I said, all I could think of was my grandmother, my great-grandmother, Rose Polinsky, coming from Russia with her mother and her sister. Why? Why did they come here? They were leaving the pogroms who were putting and killing children in the streets and saying, go home, Jews. And where was their refuge? The United States of America. And what did the Statue of Liberty mean? Well, we're going to play this song by the West Los Angeles Children's Choir. And when I come back, we will be talking to Leslie Graves.
Like the brazen giant of Greek fame, with conquering limbs astride from land to land. Here at our sea-washed sunset gate shall stand a mighty woman with a torch whose flame is the imprisoned lightning, and her name, Mother of Exiles. From her beacon hand blows worldwide welcome. Her mild eyes command the air-bridged harbor that twin cities frame. Keep, ancient lands, your storied pomp, cries she with silent lips.
I don't know about you, but that is an emotional song. Give us your tired and your poor. Oh, my goodness. That's America. I mean, that's what most of us, 99% of us are immigrants, for God's sakes. Well, for you just joining in, you are listening to KBBF 89.1 Calistoga, Santa Rosa. And I want to remind my listeners, the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors, members, or Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my guest, special guest in the studio, Leslie Graves. Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning. Thanks for having me here.
Well, I am really excited to have you here. And what's so amazing to me is Leslie is the lead organizers for the Families Being Together rally in Courthouse Square in downtown Santa Rosa this Saturday. And what's so interesting is Leslie organized the Women's March here in Sonoma County also this year. And one of her greatest tools is that she can just, all of a sudden it happens, she gets the feeling and she goes for it. So thank you so much, Leslie.
You're welcome.
Let me tell the folks a little bit about you. Leslie Graves got her first taste of coordinating local events while with the Sonoma County Family YMCA, where she took a role of planning the Harvest Fair and the 10K and 3K run in 1996, and then moved into managing events at other nonprofits and corporate retailers in the field of marketing. Currently, she is the market and event manager for the Wednesday Night Market in downtown Santa Rosa. Since coming on board, she came on board in 2016. She mixes a background of health and fitness, marketing, and community development. Leslie is always up for helping to make a positive impact by bringing people together to celebrate community, whether planning a local special event or adding a surprise element of fun to the Wednesday night market. In her spare time, she lends her voice to many local events and MCs around Sonoma County. So welcome, Leslie.
Welcome. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, we're going to talk about, you know, this gathering on the families should not be separated event that's happening here in Sonoma County. Talk about your feelings and you know, what inspired you? You know, you seem to be the type of person that all of a sudden you see something happening and you know folks have to get together and you just go into action. So talk a little bit about your feelings and what you thought.
Yeah. And my feelings are not any different than anybody else. I really feel that I am symbolic and the epitome of what everyone was feeling. Nearly a couple weeks ago, I woke up to scenes of children crying and being separated from their families and from their parents, from their moms, from their dads, on national TV, on radio, on the social media airwaves. And so as I saw that, I believe that was like Thursday, June 14th, my heart was breaking. I was crying. I was upset. I didn't know which direction to turn in. I lived with that feeling and that despair, anger, sadness for about 6 days. I kept thinking, what can I do? What can I do? I was donating money. I was reaching out to friends. We were talking and we were liking each other's posts or hating each other's posts or whatever it was on social media, but it never felt like enough. And Tuesday morning, the 19th, I woke up to having a good many friends and even elected officials wanting to find out what is going to happen in Santa Rosa. A national call to action had just been made for Families Belong Together on MoveOn.org. And people associate me with the center of town, Courthouse Square, because I've put on quite a few large events in that space. I had put on the women's rally back in January of 2018. So people were reaching out to me saying, who, when, what, where, why not? Why not Santa Rosa? What's going to happen? I couldn't point the finger at anyone else. In a moment of time, I just pointed the finger at myself and I said, I'm doing it. And it was before 8 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday the 19th that I started going online and filling out the permit application with the city of Santa Rosa, because it's me. And I think all of us were feeling like we needed to do something. And here I have the skills and the ability to do this and to put on an event. So I just did it.
But also, Leslie, the resources. I mean, you could call up. You can say, listen, I need a permit. I mean, they say this is what it's where it's at. So, it's really interesting. You said, political figures were calling you and people were wanting to have this rally. How did you manage to just all of a sudden just stop everything and start organizing this? I mean, what were some of the steps that you took?
Well,
the first step I see that you had to take was, hey, can I do it? Can I get a permit? Are you going to let it be okay?
Well, at first I just started to check in with different people that I know that are leaders within community organizations to see if they were doing something. And I wasn't getting back any positive responses. No one had taken the charge yet just to make it happen. And so once I figured out that that wasn't occurring and I was checking my resources to see if anybody had applied for a permit and they hadn't, I just decided that I was going to do it and lead the way. And then I started to reach out to organizations and leaders within our community and say, I'm going to try to do this. If a permit is available and if that space is available, if there no other event is going to happen at that time and that date, then I'm going to make it happen.
I noticed that when I went online and you have the listing on Facebook, I noticed you had I couldn't believe the list of people that are participating.
Yes.
It's amazing. How are people going to participate? Are they going to have tables there? What's the plan? What's the layout going to be like?
Right. And the plan is ever evolving right now because obviously I had about 10 days to kind of bring everybody together.
The evolutionary gathering.
That's right. It is. It's a little amorphous, but at the same time, it really speaks to the fact that the whole community really wanted to take part. Within hours, there were already thousands of people who were liking the Facebook event page and were saying, I'm going to be there and I want to support you. Reached out to community groups, and we have a good many community groups that are going to be tabling. Those community groups are such like the Rapid Network Response Team that is right here working with UndocuFund and North Bay Organization Project. So we're doing a lot to get groups out there to table, and it's all for free. We're also going to have speakers up on stage that have been impacted in their own lives by some of the policies and decisions that are happening not only now but have happened in the past with immigration.
We're going to have somebody speaking from the Japanese internment.
I don't have anybody scheduled just yet, but I have reached out to Sonoma County Tyco for them to potentially do a performance as we're gathering in the square.
Ooh.
So, that may happen. Like I said, it's ever evolving. And we have a good number of groups. We have people from the Sonoma County Democratic Party. We have people from the Wine Country Young Democrats. We have,
you have the Peace and Justice Center.
We have the Peace and Justice Center as well.
The Commission on the Status of Women, I noticed.
We have been talking to them as well to try to get them to come, and they're just looking at their schedules. It's very last minute to see who can come, but we're having a great turnout. And what's really great is that the numbers count for who shows up in the square to support this with your signs. Wearing white, the national call to action says to wear white. I'm wearing white in honor of that today in order to show our solidarity with the people that are crossing the border. This is all about the children. This is all about families. So
in wearing white, that goes to mind. That's kind of combining and bringing in all the events that are happening over. They're all identifying by wearing white. It's really interesting. During the Andy Lopez situation, one of the things that we did is we had a group called Women in White, and we would just stand there with signs. I mean, white is so white is such a powerful number. White is light. Well, Leslie, we're coming to the end of our segment. I mean, time just goes by so fast. Are there any last comments? Tell us about the time and the place and anything else that you'd like to add.
Yes, I would like to add that people can visit us and sign up and support us by going to Families Belong Together Rally in Courthouse Square, Santa Rosa on Facebook. That is a Facebook event page. We need all of our voices to stand together. We are together on this, and our community is strong in this. Many of our community members right here, I know that you're going to have immigration experts in our community come on air later this week, and they are fighting the battle every single day on the front lines. needs. And those people need our support as well, because this is a very hot topic issue for people in our own community, as well as the children and the families that are crossing the border. We want to make sure that we are there for them.
And also, you know, a lot of people complain, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? Well, if you show up at a rally like this, there'll be enough organizations there that will tell you exactly what you can do. Because for me, I always think about, what can people do? The first thing they can do, of course, is vote. That's the least you can do. The second thing you can do is you can donate money. Well, even before you donate money, research to see who's in your community, who is supporting these events, and how they can be supported. And of course, the best thing is to come out at a rally, meet the folks that are doing things, and find out what they can do and what you can do to help the community. Give us your website, Leslie, if anybody wants to get a hold of you.
So we don't have an official website. What we do have is a Facebook event page, Families Belong Together Rally in Courthouse Square, Santa Rosa. You can also go to moveon.org, put in your zip code, and you can find rallies across America. So put in your personal zip code, and you will find the closest one next to you. Sign up for it. Numbers count. We want to come out in big numbers. I want to thank all of our speakers that are coming out, including Dra Marina G. Martinez, an SRJC trustee and research coordinator from Sonoma State University, Rocio Rodriguez, a member of the Wine Country Young Democrats and 5th District Commissioner for the Sonoma County Commission on Human Rights, Maria Avina, a MSc and school counselor for Roseland School District here in Santa Rosa, as well as a special guest speaker, Irma, who is dealing with some of these immigration rights issues right now in her own personal life. I believe that you'll have her on to speak later this week. It is so inspiring to have folks up on our stage doing this. Like I say, it's ever growing. Check out our event Facebook page to find out everything about the event. 10 o'clock, Courthouse Square, Saturday, June 30th. I'm looking forward to seeing everybody there. We'll have sign-making supplies. We'll have a children's activity area. And we will have calls to action that you can participate right there in the moment.
Oh, my God. I can't wait. I mean, The good news is that we are standing up. And I just want to give people one more website here. It's called familiesbelongtogether.org. If you type in your zip code, you can find out any event that's happening across the United States. Well, thank you so much, Leslie Graves, for not only being such a great guest, but for doing such a wonderful thing for our community. And I look forward to seeing you. I will be there. I'm going to have a little table for Women's Spaces. And also, as you know, I'm president of the National Organization for Women. We will also be there, and it's going to be quite an event. And the thing is, like what I always say, and I've said over and over for years, before our representatives, before they make a decision, they ask one important question: is it good for the children? If it is not good for the children, then let's not do it. And this is definitely, I mean, what are we raising? What are our children feeling? You know, for you mothers out there, you got to get this straight. It might be happening to somebody else, but if they can do it to another mother's child, God only knows they can do it to yours. So every child becomes our child, and we have to stand up for them and in their name. So, I mean, that's a lot to say. Anyway, we're going to take a musical break, and when we come back, I'm going to be talking with Dr. Harriet Fraud, and we'll be going over some of the issues about maybe why this is happening and some a little bit of the history, and also to give people some courage, you know. I mean, we have overcome many things. I'm going to play a very special song, We Shall Overcome by Mahalia Jackson, and when we come back, we'll be talking with Dr. Fraud.
Shall overcome one day. We shall overcome one day. We shall overcome the Lord one day. Lord, one day, mm-hmm.
Well, welcome back. Wow, we will overcome this. You know, with people coming out in the street, you better believe it. Anyway, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce one of my favorite guests in the whole world, Dr. Harriet Fraud. Welcome, Dr. Fraud. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Be here.
You're going to have to speak up.
I am so glad to be here.
Oh, good. That's great. Well, welcome, welcome. Before we start, Harriet, I would like to tell my listeners a little bit about you. Is that okay?
Sure.
Harriet Fraud is a mental, excuse me, Dr. Harriet Fraud is a mental health counselor and hypnotherapist in practice in New York City. She is a founding member of the feminist movement and the journal Rethinking Marxism. For over 40 years, she's been a radical committed to transforming U.S. policy and political life. Harriet specializes in speaking and writing about topics which the psychology and economics overlap, as these topics remain loaded with taboos, confusions, ignorance, and fear, preventing us from asking big questions and daring to discuss big answers. By analyzing issues where psychology and economics collide, we can better analyze our society and our individuality as well. She is on once a month on the show Economic Update, and we're very proud to announce that we also have that show here at 11 o'clock on KBBF 89.1 FM. She's also written two books, Class Struggle, The Home Front, and Imagine Living in Socialist USA, and Imagine Personal, Emotional, and Sexual Life Without Capitalism. Oh, boy, that's a big title. Well, welcome. Anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I am, as of July 2nd, I'll be starting podcasts, and I have a website, harrietfraud.com. F-R-A-A-D is fraud. So, and I will, you know, I will be doing more podcasts and more programming because people seem to need this connection between personal life and what's going on politically and economically in America.
Well, that's a good way to segue into our conversation. You know, what is happening and what do you think is the motivation? You know, my fear is that all this stuff that's going on in the border is just kind of a cover up so they can go and slash Medicare and Social Security. What do you think is going on and what is motivating this action at the borders?
Well, if I try to look beyond the hysteria or the feeling that just Trump is just a nasty fellow, I look at what's going on and what's going on around the world. After World War II, in the aftermath of all of that destruction, two great empires emerged, that of the United States and that of the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union basically, without bloodshed, imploded out of its own corruption. The United States is in an untenable moment. We keep militarizing, spending $1 trillion on the military budget. We haven't actually had a complete victory since World War II. We've been in Iraq for 15 years. We haven't won. We can't leave. We've been in Afghanistan. We're in 130 countries all over the world, and Trump, who has cut so many things and attempted to cut even more, has added to the military budget. So we're militarizing. And if we look at, okay, where has this been done before? We're also breaking our international treaties with people who were our allies, whether they're Canada, Mexico, Germany, France, Sweden, Denmark, anyone else in Europe, and we are catering to and appreciating dictators like the Saudi Arabian princes and Kim Jong-un of North Korea. What's going on? And what's going on, I think, is that the United States is a declining empire. The standard of living of people is declining. Real wages, what you could actually buy, have stayed flat for what you're paid, actually, have stayed flat since the mid-1970s, even where unemployment is less because there are being jobs offered. They're being jobs offered at very low wages. that make them low enough so there's no point in outsourcing those jobs. Millions of high-paid, union-organized jobs were exported, outsourced, mechanized, robotized, and computerized, and the American people are in a bad way.
Well, why, with all that happening and all that we have to look at, why all of a sudden all this happening at the borders? You know, I mean, I'm looking at there is a historical perspective to this. For example, this happened with the Native American children, you know, innocent children in wars. You know, look what happened in the Holocaust, you know, the Japanese internment during World War II. And how does all that blend in with what you're saying? I mean, we're going through a decline economically on so many levels, but yet at the same time, all this hullabaloo and all this carrying on at the borders. I mean, it's horrible.
It actually does make sense if you think that Trump, in order to mobilize people on his side as he savages their standard of living, needs a scapegoat on which to blame it. In Germany, they blamed gypsies, they blamed Jews, they blamed inferior Slavic peoples, they blamed black people, people of color, they blamed homosexuals. And Trump is blaming refugees, even though there's no indication at all that refugees do anything but add to our economy. But he has found a scapegoat for Americans' deep dissatisfaction and anger, and he's used the racism that has been part of our society, justifying savaging and basically committing genocide against the Native Americans that were here, and then later enslaving African Americans. He used that racism against the refugees. He says he wants refugees from a country like Norway. He doesn't want Mexicans and Hondurans, which is, you know, of course, no one in Norway with their wonderful social supports is trying to come here. But that he's got to find a scapegoat, because the tax bill that he paid gave average Americans a small tax break, which expires in 3 years. After that, the tax breaks at the top continue, the tax breaks for everyone else stop. Before that happens and people get a whole new level of misery and privation, one out of every six children is on food stamps. The country's doing terribly. 46% of Americans don't have $400 in case of an emergency.
Wow.
But there has to be somebody, he thinks, to blame it on. That worked with Hitler, although it didn't work in the end, of course. Germany was destroyed. But if we look at what they were doing in that fascist society, Weimar, that preceded Hitler's reign, was very progressive. Life, you know, homosexuals were allowed free reign, and they were allowed to be respected as people, and women got new powers and so on. But they had a terrible inflation. Their economy was doing badly. And Hitler decided, stop globalism, go for nationalism, and buttress it with military might. And that looks like what Trump is doing. If you look beyond the hysteria about Melania's jacket or this and that pussy grabbing that he's done, or lying about his affair with a porn star, underneath there's a strategy. Bannon is in Europe right now encouraging people who are outright fascists, like the Hungarian president.
I want to ask you a question before we move on to something else. You know, when you brought up, you know, the jacket, it's really interesting. I heard an interview with Van Jones where he said we should not focus on the jacket that Melania Trump was wearing, but we should keep on to the issues that are at hand. But it's still at the same time, it happened. I saw, you know, I actually saw her being lifted into a car with a Secret Service woman. Why somebody didn't say, you know, do you know what's on the back of your jacket? So my thought is, even though we should not be focusing on it, what do you think? There had to be a reason that happened.
Of course there had to be. Melania is a scripted player. She's hardly a spontaneous, politically informed human being. Someone told her to wear the jacket. It's a dog whistle sign. It's a sign to his supporters in the white supremacist movement, his supporters who hate refugees and are looking for scapegoats. It's a sign saying, whatever gestures I make, I'm with you. I'm on your side. And she will wear what she's supposed to. She's in this marriage because she's going to be supported for the rest of her life when she divorces him. When asked publicly, would you have married Donald if he were not rich? She said, would he have married me if I were not beautiful? In other words, arm candy for money. So she is not making principled statements. She makes as few appearances as she could possibly get away with, the most scarce first lady ever, and only in a scripted, stiff way. No one sees warmth or spontaneity from Melania, and she isn't spontaneous with anything, including her wardrobe. It was a sign to his supporters who want to blame their ills, their unemployment, their lower paid work, their poor status, their failed marriages, their mortgage payments that they can't pay, their education payments, which are now the biggest form of debt outside of, they're bigger than credit card debt, they're the biggest outside of mortgage debt. You know, she is wearing a sandwich sign for some purpose in his regime. She's not an individual.
To me, as a woman, as a mother, as a grandmother, you know, as a future, you know, I'm going to be a great grandmother in September. And I, when I saw that, and she's a mother, you know, I mean, it was really telling. Well, you know, Harriet, I want to just go a little bit back. You know, one of the things that I've been reading up a lot is that I found out that in 1953, after World War II, when Germany and Japan was in such chaos, they did have specific immigration rules to treat people a certain way because there were a lot of people that were trying to come over here. Why is that changing so dramatically? I mean, what I can't understand is that we have a Congress, we have a Senate, we have checks and balances, and yet this is still happening. Why isn't our Congress or our Senate stopping these things?
Well, one of the things that's happened is that the United States is falling apart because our smart forefathers, who were in many ways trying to create something wonderful with the constitutional checks and balances, had no check or balance on money. Now, possibly because many of them were slave owners. But therefore, we have the best democracy money can buy. And that's why the NRA, which 70% of the people in this country thinks should stop and should curb gun use, is not doing that. Trump himself took $30 million from the NRA. Now, that isn't democracy. That's money talks. And Bernie Sanders was the only person really on a high level calling that out. And he was stabbed in the back by the Democratic Party machinery. And Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who was the head of the Democratic Party at that time, was made an honorary campaign chair by Hillary Clinton because they have the same corporate sponsors as the Republicans. Now, Bernie went for the small donations from a mass of people, but the kind of people that are in the Congress right now, most of them would never get elected from ordinary people because they represent corporate America's interests, which are not those of the struggling mass of Americans who were Hillary's basket of deplorables and who Romney threw under the bus. You know, that, and Trump said, I'm different. I break all the rules. You tried the same basic economic policies dressed in brown with Obama. That failed you. I'm different.
Harriet, I have to interrupt you.
I have
a woman by the name of Leslie Graves. She's one of the coordinators for the rally that we're having here in Santa Rosa, and she'd like to ask you a question. I asked her to stay and to listen, and I know you're giving her a very interesting perspective, and she has a question for you.
Good morning. Yes, and Harriet, it's absolutely almost overwhelming to hear you talk, and I think that I maybe am a little bit speaking for not only myself but for others, in that overwhelming feeling of somewhat of a dread with all of the news and the information, and I'm trying to catch up and be as informed as possible and make the best decisions that I can, but it feels like I'm being hit in every single direction. I know taking action this Saturday on June 30th with the Families Belong Together feels like a good thing, but what else can I do? What can you give me or someone like myself who, you know, has a family, has three teenage sons, who is looking for that spot of hope? What would be like that one or two things besides voting, which I do each and every election? How do I affect more change? Because this slippery slope that you're talking about, not only historically but currently, I want to start going in the right direction.
Well, what I would think of is, I'm quite sure that Bernie Sanders is running again. It would be to support that effort and that of all of the people he supports who are trying to make a government that isn't for sale. Also, on the positive side, for you and all the listeners and for myself, there is a power in understanding it, which is why I try so hard to do that. A and B, things are happening all over the United States. In New Haven now, people who calmly sat by while Yale does not pay taxes to the city and owns half the land, and now they've had an 11% tax increase in the city, are standing up against Yale, a multi-billion dollar corporation. They haven't done that for about 40 years. And people all, you know, there's the West Haven teachers. The West Virginia Teachers Union. And the West Virginia teachers who did it outside their union and just said, no, we won't sacrifice anymore. We're teachers. We want to teach. It's happening everywhere. And I think the reversal of the Lopez decision is a testimony to people standing up and saying, no, you don't shoot children.
That's right. It's about children.
It's about children.
I know Elaine has so much to say in so little time.
Well, you know, Harriet, we're coming to the end of our segment. And as always, your information is not only very important to know, but like Leslie said, a little bit overwhelming. But, you know, the most important thing is we're getting together on June 30th. People across the nation are saying, "Not, this is not enough." Trump was forced to change his position. Which
yes,
is,
he was.
You know, so any last thoughts?
Well, join the grassroots efforts everywhere. Trump was forced to change. And when people catch on and say no and get together, it will change. And that will change America. It always has. It's more powerful than money. We have the numbers. They have money.
Well, Dr. Harriet Fraud, I want to thank you for, as always, being such a great guest, being so informative and giving us a little bit of history. And I want to remind the folks again, you know, to get involved, to come to the Human Rights Commission on Tuesday, to hear what the people are saying, to get those resolutions going, to start looking at what we can do with the homeless. I mean, the Constitution starts out with we, the people, and we have to realize that that is where our power lies. Well, any last thoughts before we say goodbye again?
That is where our power lies. We, the people, united against oppression and against injustice, which is so clear in putting children in cages and discriminating against desperate people who would never come to this country if we weren't bombing their countries or immiserating their people.
Thank you so much, Harriet. I just love you. Anyway, that's it for our show, folks. Special thank you to Leslie Graves, the lead organizer for Families Belong Together Rally in Courthouse Square. They do have a Facebook page. If you want to find out more information that's going on across in California and also anywhere you want to go to a rally, go to familiesbelongtogether.org. That's familiesbelongtogether.org. And I want to thank a special thank you to Dr. Dr. Harriet Fraud for sharing her thoughts and wisdom on what's happening in our country, also on the borders. Remember, tell your friends. Women's Spaces will be aired again at 11 p.m. this evening. I'm so excited I get to listen to my own program. Also, I'm available for speaking engagements, and if you have any birthdays, anniversaries, please email me. This is Elaine B. Holt. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
Because a woman in your life is you. Because a woman in your life, and a woman in your life, and a woman in your life is you.